The Columbia Workshop presents The Man with the One-Track Mind. Workshop listeners will recall the recent workshop comedy, My Client Curly, which proved so popular it was given a repeat performance a few weeks later. The author of the original script of My Client Curly was Miss Lucille Fletcher, and tonight's play is a new comedy by the same author, The Man with the One-Track Mind. Have you ever longed to be a locomotive? If so, listen to the story of Herbert Thompson, registered pharmacist of Springdale, New York.
Herbert! Herbert! Herbert, what on earth are you doing?
Hello, Mary.
What are you doing?
Why, nothing, Mary, nothing. Just practicing my train imitations, that's
all. Your train imitations. A fine place to be practicing train imitations in the prescription room. Of all the idiotic, futile, ridiculous occupations, Oh, well, what's the use? Come on and have your supper while there's still a little heat left in it.
I'm sorry, Mary, but I can't.
What?
Well, not just this minute, anyway. You see, Mr. Dooley's coming in about half an hour.
Mr. Dooley? Who's he?
Oh, he's the fireman on the Empire State Express. But it's his day off tonight, and he's promised to stop by at 8:30 and listen to my train imitations. You know, I'm going to do them for the father's and son's dinners next Monday.
And make a fool of yourself
again? Make a fool of myself?
What do you suppose the father's and son's dinner is asking you to do your train imitations for? They're asking you so they can laugh at you.
Oh, Mary.
To see you crowing there, standing up on your toes and being the 20th century, with your face getting redder by the minute and your Adam's apple going up and down.
Well, what of it? No artist can do good work without a little effort. Anyway, I tell him beforehand not to look at me. It's a thing to listen to. If they'd had any imagination.
Imagination? It's you who haven't any imagination. If you had any, you'd know how funny you look.
No, trains are my hobby, Mary, that's all.
Your hobby? Why, they've become your whole life. You never think about the store anymore. You don't try to improve it. You don't fix it up.
Well, perhaps the reason I like trains so much is because they take my mind off this store. Have you ever sat in this store all day long, Mary? I don't mean just once in a while, but every day, year in and year out. I've been in this store for 25 years. Take a look at it. Isn't a very interesting place to spend one's life, is it? Maybe I'm tired of it. Maybe I don't care about it anymore. Maybe I just want to feel free.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Maybe I love trains because they're so different from myself. Well, look at a locomotive. It's big and powerful and always on the go. It's alive. It accomplishes things.
Harry Thompson, you're talking like a ninny.
I'd rather be a train than a man anytime. Trains don't just sit and rot all their lives. They live. They don't have anything to chain them down. Don't you see what I mean, Mary? They're so free. They're like gods almost. They're colossal.
So that's what you've been thinking all these years. You felt chained down, have you? You felt chained to me.
No, I never felt exactly chained to you, but, you know, I kind of never wanted to settle down in this town. This drugstore was your idea. If I had my way, we'd have sold out long ago.
Yes, and gone to the poorhouse.
I wasn't cut out to be a druggist, Mary. I've hated it.
What would you rather have been, a hobo?
Sometimes I almost think that would have been better. Look, I'm almost 50 now, and where am I? Still sweeping out the store in the morning and winding up the clock at night and making banana splits with maraschino cherries. I've never been anywhere. So don't stop me, Mary. I told you trains were a hobby with me. I was wrong. They're a whole philosophy. You hear that? There she goes, the Wolverine, on time and bound for Chicago.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, Lord, think of her tearing through the night with her steam up on her wheels, driving the cloud of steam, swallowed up in a tunnel, then out across the open country, telegraph poles going by, towns flashing past. That's her whistle again. Hoo, 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 like this, like this, like this, like this, hoo, like this,
And so Herbert Thompson, who had envied trains all his life, became a locomotive. It was a sudden transformation, swift, instantaneous. He was propelled forward through his little drugstore as though on the wings of a whirlwind. That was a solid glass counter toppling over. That was his wife, Mary, screaming, and she's fainted. But poor Herbert can't turn his head to see her, as his head has become perfectly rigid. Well, naturally, it's made of iron. He can't even glance back at her out of the corner of his eyes, because he has only one eye right in the middle of his face. He's screaming in terror as he tears down Main Street. But his scream has turned to the hoarse cry of a locomotive. He's just passed Bowman's department store. He's ripped off the whole plate glass front, and he's covered with men's socks and ladies' underwear and all this week's bargain specials. Everywhere he's destroying. Fire hydrants, telephone poles, newsstands, baby carriages, delivery wagons, all strewn around as he goes by. He's turned the corner of Elm Street and knocked down Steve the Grease Glance Wagon. He's trying to slow down, but he only goes faster and faster. He's heading for the railroad tracks. It's instinct, and he's made it. He's on the tracks, and he's rolling, as smooth as a twig floating downstream, and he's rounding a bend. Herbert Thompson is a locomotive.
Oh, good gosh. Oh, golly. Where am I? Oh, boy. This is fun. If the fellas at the Grease could only see me now. Look at the steam and the smoke. Look at that station platform. Hello. Goodbye. Look at the funny bridge up ahead. Hello. Goodbye. Hello. Green light. I mean, goodbye. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Here's a tunnel. Whoopee. Whoopee.
Hey, you. Get off the track.
Oh, good gosh. What's that? Can that be another train? Yes. Sounds like the 20th century. Holy mackerel. He must be coming up behind me.
Come on, out of my way. Swipe, clear the road. I'm in a hurry.
Okay, sir, okay. My, he's gaining on me. He'll run me down if I can't do something. Okay, mister, I'm hurrying.
Come on, step on it, then. I got no time to waste. I'm doing Albany in 5 minutes.
In Albany? Oh, dear. I can feel his hot breath right from my back. Oh, oh dear, he's kicked me in the tender. What's that ahead? A siding. As I live and breathe, thank heaven. Oh, ouch! Kick me again. Yes, sir. Just 1 minute, sir. I'll be off your track right away. Just a second.
What's you doing out at my voice place? I got a good mind to take your number. What's your number anyway?
My number? You mean my social security number? Oh, dear, dear. I'm afraid I can't remember it, sir, but the name is Thompson. Herbert Thompson.
Herbert Thompson.
Oh, I made the siding. Oh, oh, my, what a violent sort of personality. I do believe it would have run me down if I hadn't stepped on it. Ouch, my tender's killing me. I wish I had some liniment. I wonder what trains do when cases like this. Good gosh, who's this now? A freight train half a mile long and coming right toward me.
What you doing on this here track?
I beg your pardon, but the 20th century...
This here is my private side, and it's all been taken care of by the B&O, that I'm to have the use of it from 7 in the evening till 2 o'clock in the morning. So go on now. You trespassing the intercessor, you. Get going.
I'm sorry, but I... Well, frankly, sir, I don't know how to back up.
What do you mean you can't back up? You trying to make fun of poor old Uncle Boxcar when he's got so much misery in his pistons and so many burdens hanging on behind? Back up now. I'm going to report you to the roundhouse.
Oh, please, just a minute. I'm not trying to make fun of you. Honest. You see, I couldn't help myself. I was going along that main track to Albany back there, minding my own business, when all of a sudden the 20th century came by and pushed me off the road. Really? But I didn't know this was your track. Honest, I didn't.
Nobody knows anything as Uncle Boxcar's. He got to get along as best as he can.
Come on, Uncle Boxcar. Let's get going.
What you stopping for? Let's get on.
Let's get along to our destination.
Hear them back there screaming and whining? Them's old Uncle Boxcar's burdens, bless them. Shut your mouth. Them's the burdens poor old Uncle Boxcar's got on his mind day and night. Always a-worrying him and a-fretting to keep moving. One of them, Lettuce, third from the back, she's back there in the refrigeration car.
Yeah, Uncle, off here.
She's always a-howling that she's gwine spile. And there's Bee. She's complaining all the time about the curves in the roadbed. Behind her is automobiles. She's always in a hurry, she is.
I am, too. There's no fooling about that.
Oh, he ain't had 1 minute's rest in all his life, he ain't. He ain't never known one day he could sit down in his own shed with his own old woman and his children. Uncle Boxcar ain't seen one of his poor little children since they was knee-high to a handcar. My boy Sleepy, he's a Pullman now on the Santa Fe. Got a fancy name, too. George Washington Woodrow Wilson Crotona Park. My little gal Dinah now, she's a classy dining car in New York Central. I'm sure proud of my children.
Well, what about your wife? She must be proud of them, too.
She's dead, young man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Boiler trouble. She blowed up this 15 miles outside of Memphis. She had it for years, poor old woman. I used to say to her, "Class, honey, why come you don't retire?" "No, sir," she said to me, shaking her poor old cow catcher. "No, I could never do no such thing as that. 'Twouldn't be fair to the company folks. I'se got a big responsibility. Duty, that's all she ever lived for."
She must have been a wonderful woman, but of course I would never marry a locomotive. I want to be free.
How long you been out the factory, young man?
The factory?
That's what I said. Only a locomotive that wasn't dry behind the pistons would talk like that. Free? Why, man, we is the most subjugated race in the world. Look at them burdens back there.
Yes, I know. You're pretty tied down, but the average train...
All of them's got to carry something, don't they? If it ain't burdens, it's passengers. Now, what good's a locomotive anyhow if it ain't pulling something?
Uncle Boxcar, quit talking, for goodness sake.
We's due in California in 2 weeks.
Okay, I'm starting right now. Quiet back there, girls, quiet. As I was saying, young man...
Uncle Boxcar, we'll spy. If you don't get us to our destination on time, and if we spies, we'll report you to the roundhouse. It'll be your fault.
Laws of mercy. Well, gotta be on my way. Goodbye, sonny. Goodbye, so long. Come on, bud, a piece of wine. Look up, look down.
Poor old man. Not getting much fun out of life. Oh, well. Who's that tearing down the track?
I say, look out, please.
Excuse me, I was just trying to get off this siding. There doesn't seem to be a free track in this whole system. I'll be out of your way directly, sir, just as soon as I get out onto this parallel track.
Oh, really? Well, do hurry. I'm frightfully late. Have to make the World's Fair by tea time. Reception committee and all that sort of thing.
Sir. Yes, sir. Say, I hope you won't mind my saying so, but... haven't I seen you somewhere before?
The name's Scott. Coronation Scott. Pastor to look special in the British Empire.
Say, I've read about you for years.
Have you? How frightfully dull. Is the track ready, please?
All ready, Your Majesty. Although I'm afraid I've left it a little greasy.
No matter. Nothing could make these American tracks any worse than they are. Are you coming my way?
Well, would you mind?
It doesn't make the slightest bit of difference.
Well, then I guess I will. Oh, golly. If Mr. Dooley could only see me now. Oh, this is class. You were saying something about American tracks, Your Majesty. How terrible they are, Your Majesty.
Oh, please don't call me Your Majesty. It annoys me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Here I'd come over to America thinking I should escape the whole deadly business. And what do I find? The moment I arrive, the same tiresome thing starts all over again. Porters sweeping me out every 10 miles. Red carpets at every station. And champagne bottles, endless champagne bottles, being broken continually over my nose.
It sort of sounds like fun in a way, Your Grace.
Fun? How would you like to be stoked, polished, dry cleaned, repainted, upholstered, dusted, vacuumed, and lubricated every other day? And the horrid populace, tramping through you incessantly day and night, shedding peanut shells, chewing gum wrappers, orange peel all up and down your innards. It's enough to give a man high boiler pressure.
Oh, dear.
And look at the roadbed they give me to travel on. Of all the horrid proletarian means of transportation. In England, a train is somebody. Here, most of you chaps are nothing but open-air subways. That 20th century fellow, for example.
You've met the 20th century?
Unfortunately, yes. And a greater boor it's never been my privilege to meet. Of course, I suppose one shouldn't expect much from a person who comes from Chicago with all those gangsters and Indians living out there. But really, do you know what he had the nerve to tell me not long ago? That his deluxe drawing rooms were far superior to mine.
Really?
Why, the king himself christened my drawing rooms with a bottle of old Malmsey. The very same Malmsey that Richard III drowned his brother in. Ah, but here we are at the World's Fair. Just slow down and follow me into the railroad buildings.
I was here last year when it opened with my wife, Mary.
You have a wife?
Yes, sir.
Well, how very odd. English trains are celibate. Dreadful bore. Oh, dear me. I say, aren't you coming along?
I don't know whether there'll be enough tracks to go round.
Oh, don't be tiresome. Of course there are. I'll introduce you around.
You mean I'll meet all the famous trains?
Of course, if you care for that sort of thing. There, sit down and lower your boiler pressure. I'll have the fireman bring us some tea directly. Do you like yours with pea coal or stove coal? Oh, dear me, look the other way quickly. Here comes the chief.
Oh! Big Chief Santa Fe, Greek Coronation Scott. Him welcome in land of sky blue water.
It's all an affectation with him, old boy. He speaks as good English as you do. Does it all for publicity. I beg your pardon. I'm afraid we haven't met.
Big Chief met Coronation Scott Chicago Fair, 1934.
I'm afraid I don't recall either the cowcatcher or the name. Big Chief. You're not by any chance Indian, are you?
Big Chief, much Indian. Him from far west. Him make Santa Fe run. New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, California, Painted Desert, Albuquerque.
Oh, how very odd. I had no idea there were any trains west of Chicago.
You want smoke, peace, stack?
Thanks, but I simply loathe American fuel.
Ah, so you're still at it, huh, pal? Still at it.
Really, of all the... Oh, it's you, 20th Century. I thought you were in Chicago.
Sure, I was in Chicago yesterday. But today I'm in New York. This ain't England, you know, pal. We cover territory. 2,000 miles in a flick of a piston. We ain't midgets over here, we're trains. What you doing to my pal, the chief?
Really, 20th Century, you're impossible.
Oh, belittling him again because he can't speak the English language, is that it? Okay, but if some people I know could speak it as good. So you don't like American fuel, huh? So there ain't nothing but covered wagons outside of Chicago. Well, why don't you learn something? Instead of sitting over there on your island being a commuter special.
If you're mean to insinuate, 20th Century, that I do the work of an underground...
Go away, you make me tired. You and all them foreigners is all alike. Why don't you get on to yourselves for a change? In 10 years, you and me and all of us won't be needed anyway.
Oh, please, for goodness sake, now, don't let's start talking about aeroplanes. I'm sick of the whole discussion.
I ain't discussing aeroplanes. They're only a bunch of mosquitoes. What I'm discussing right here and now... is diesel, oil, electric trains. You know, in 10 years, I'm telling you, they're gonna rule the tracks. I tell you, fellas, a guy's gotta think these days. He's gotta look ahead. Why, listen, only last night, coming back from Chicago, what do you think I heard? A couple of old dames was complaining because there wasn't no moving pictures on board. Why didn't they do something to entertain the passengers, they were saying? The boredom is terrific. The boredom. Can you beat it? 16 hours for 1,000 miles, and the boredom is terrific. A guy tears himself in half, keeping up speed. A guy tries to keep himself attractive. A guy lays out the red carpet, installs a radio, subscribes to every magazine in creation, and the boredom is terrific. And moreover... Oh, just a second, pals.
Hiya, babe. Hello, long and handsome.
Why, it's the Broadway Limited, all painted up.
Say, when's it blow into town, honey? Gee, I'm glad to see you.
And am I glad to see you. I've been missing you in Chicago now for the last 5 weeks.
Oh, I couldn't help it, honey. I had a new engineer and he changed my schedule. They say, you met the fellas?
I don't think so, but I don't see why not.
Fellas, meet the Goyle friend, Miss Broadway Limited.
Pleased to meet you.
Oh, I say, rather. My word, what a lovely tender.
Okay, fellas, okay, break it up. Now, break it up. What's on your mind, honey?
Nothing, except I never see you anymore.
Oh, listen, honey, for goodness sakes, don't start that stuff again. You know it can't be helped. Who told you to join up with the Pennsylvania Railroad in the first place?
I don't see why you can't jump a track once in a while and take the route through Pittsburgh. Other fellas would do it for me.
Well, other fellas ain't me. And if that's the way you feel about it...
Oh, I don't, honey, I don't. Only I get so lonesome. All those miles and miles of telephone poles and never a call for me.
I can't do nothing about that. You know that, honey. You want your career, don't you? It was your idea being a deluxe flyer, not mine.
Yeah, I know. But honestly, sometimes I get so blue. And now, what with them fresh suburban locals?
Have them locals been bothering you again?
Something terrible. They won't let me alone. Every time I come into a new town, a whole bunch of them goes by and purposely brushes up against me and pinches my parlor car. It's driving me crazy.
Why those lousy mashes?
Aw, honey, that's one of the reasons I want you to come over to the Pennsylvania sometime. If those locals just took one look at you...
How many times have I got to tell you that I can't do it? You see what goes on all the time, fellas? It's breaking my heart. She's my girl, but when do I ever see her? I'm in Chicago, she's in New York. She's in Chicago, I'm in Albany. We can't get married. We can't settle down in a nice little roundhouse up at Harmon. We can't do nothing. What's our future?
Even the subways have a better time than we do. I knew a girl once. She was an electric on the IRT. And she married a fella on the BMT. They never had no trouble living together. They just settled down in the car barns at 14th Street.
Yeah?
Yeah. And they had a couple of kids on the Canarsie line. But the whole family got together on Sundays.
You know, you can say what you like. But them subways don't have such a bad time of it after all.
Bad time? At least they can depend on a regular clientele.
Gee, it'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it? You do a couple of nice little quiet runs from Coney Island up to 42nd Street, going no faster than about 10 miles an hour. Then along about 8 o'clock, you slide into the car barns, get washed up, and there would be your little wife, just in from Queens Plaza, waiting with supper ready for you.
Gee.
Yeah, then on Sundays you'd loaf around while they changed the car cards and swept out the cigarette butts. Or maybe even play around the pinochle with the West End Local and the Sea Beach Express. Oh, boy, what a life.
Big Chief, he no like subway life. He wanna be horse.
Why, Chief, what an idea. Who'd have thunk it? I thought you were satisfied with the Santa Fe.
Santa Fe, all right, but horse, better. Horse, he no stick to track. He climb mountain. He make own trail up Mesa. He look at sunset. He stop where he like. Beside river, little village, on prairie.
Stop it, Chief. I can't stand it.
Well, you're all quite wrong. If you're going to change places, why not be men?
Oh, I beg your pardon, Your Majesty. I mean, Mr. Scott.
A man's a poor thing, of course, but at least he's flexible. He can lie down once in a while. I'm so tired of rigidity.
But, Mr. Scott...
And a man has a varied diet. He doesn't have to eat coal all the time. Aren't you gentlemen frankly bored to death with coal?
But, Mr. Scott, that's the least...
Oh, please, I'm talking. And at least a man gets a vacation once in a while we poor trains...
Curtain going up in 5 minutes.
What's that?
Oh, dear. It's our cue for the railroads on parade show. Quick, where's my engineer?
Come on, beautiful, we gotta get going.
Gee, I need a touch of fresh paint. Where's my spray gun?
Here, do I look streamlined enough? You're coming, of course.
Why, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I'm planning...
Oh, but you must come. Here, I'll find you an engineer. He'll take you on in.
No, thanks. I don't want an engineer. I'm going to California. I'm going there all by myself. All alone.
But good heavens, man, you can't go to California without an engineer. You can't even get out of the fair without an engineer. Here, take mine.
Curtain going up in 3 minutes. Last call for railroads on parade.
I've got to go, but wait for me. He's backing up. My good fellow, come back, you'll be ruined. Wait a minute. Wait till I find you an engineer. Oh, good grief.
Make way, make way. I'm going to California, California. California, here I come. California, here I...
Look out! One of the locomotives is broken loose.
Help! Somebody throw the switch.
The engine's going wild.
Jump in the subway train!
Help! Runaway train! Help!
Help! Help!
Help!
Help! Help me! Help me! Make way, everybody! Make way!
This is trainman number 18. Be on the lookout for a runaway locomotive, just torn loose from the railroad exhibit at the World's Fair. It is now believed to be on the New York Central tracks, heading north toward Albany. No engineer is in the cab. The number of this locomotive is unknown, but it can be identified by its high-pitched whistle.
Whoopee! Some stuff! Yahoo, everybody! Yahoo! I've been working on the railroad all the live long day. California, here I come. Whoopee, whoopee, whoopee.
While locomotive without engineer in cab still heading north toward Albany. Believe now to be somewhere in the neighborhood of Peekskill. Be on the lookout for a wild locomotive. Stop this locomotive with any obstacle.
Okay, then put this telephone pole here. This one over there. That'll derail it, all right. And keep clear when it comes around the bend, men. Keep clear.
Gee, Mr. Dooley, it's going to be some crash when it hits this, huh?
You're right, Zeke. It'll be some crash. Look out. Here she comes.
Whoopee! Whoop! Trap. Trying to derail me, eh? Fine thing, trying to derail a nice little locomotive like me. Okay, boys, I'm on to you. I know what to do. Here's a nice little siding going off to the left. I've always liked sidings, always wanted to explore them. Well, I'll fool them all. That California trip can wait for a minute. I'll just twist myself a little like this and whoopee, whoopee, here I go! Down the nice little siding. So long, fellas. Sorry to have disappointed you. Down a nice little siding. What's that ahead? A stone quarry? A what? Help! Help! I can't stop! Oh, dear! I never should! I can't!
Herbert! Herbert! Oh, where on earth are you? Oh, goodness, how you frightened me.
Well, Mary, Where am I?
How on earth did you ever manage to fall asleep down behind that counter? My goodness, do you realize what time it is?
No, is it? Is it still night?
Night? It's almost morning, Herbert, and you still haven't closed up the store. Oh, I've been worried sick about you. I've been down to the railroad station and everything.
Mary, I've had the strangest dream. I've been dreaming about...
I shouldn't be surprised if you did have a strange sort of dream, sleeping like that at the back of the counter. And what with all the excitement going on this evening...
What excitement? What is it you're talking about?
Herbert, there's been a most terrible wreck down near the Springdale station.
Wreck?
Well, it seems as if one of the locomotives out of the World's Fair went wild this evening and ran all over creation.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
It was heading north toward Albany. Nobody could stop it. It seemed it didn't have an engineer on board.
Oh, mercy me.
So Mr. Dooley got a gang of men, and they got together a couple of telephone poles. And what did they do but roll them out over the tracks just down below Springdale station, just where the little siding turns off to go to the old stone quarry.
The stone quarry? Will you pass me that bottle of spirits of ammonia?
Surely, here. Here. But you are white. Well, what did that train do when it came near those telephone poles but jump the track and leap off into the siding right near to where Mr. Dooley was standing? And the funniest part of it was that nobody was hurt.
But if the locomotive crashed...
It did crash. That's what nobody can understand.
Mary, where's my coat?
Where on earth are you going now?
I'm going down to see that locomotive. I've got to.
Herbert Thompson, you come right back here.
Mary, you don't understand. I've got to see that locomotive.
Well, you could go there in the morning. Besides, you won't see any locomotive there anyway.
No locomotive, you mean? They've already cleared it away.
Well, so it seems. There wasn't any locomotive there at all. Nothing but a lot of broken medicine bottles. Thousands of them all lying on the ground. Wasn't that crazy?
Crazy? Oh, gosh. Oh, crazy is right.
You've just heard the Columbia Workshop presentation of The Man with the One-Track Mind, a new comedy for radio by Lucille Fletcher. Tonight's broadcast was produced and directed by Earl McGill. The part of Herbert Thompson was played by Mark Smith, Mrs. Thompson by Charmé Allen, The 20th Century by Mandel Kramer, Old Uncle Boxcar by John Mitchell, Coronation Scott, Horace Braham, The Santa Fe, Joseph Granby, The Broadway Limited, Beatrice Kay. Other members of the cast were John Gibson, Fannie Mae Baldridge, and Sidney Smith. Next week, the Columbia Workshop presents The Cockeyed Wonder, a baseball comedy by Nathaniel Curtis. John Tillman speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.